This season, we'll be further exploring each topic, hanging out with experts and enthusiasts of all kinds for more strange stories, social commentary, and the myths that make America tick. I'm your host, Chelsea Weber Smith. This is the second part of our two-part interview with comedian Chris Gethard, who hosts the podcast Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People, stars in a new stand-up special called Half My Life, and is the author of Weird New York. Make sure you listen to part one, where we discuss dangerous water parks, bizarre roadside attractions, urban legends, and what it was like to grow up in the oftentimes unsafe 1980s and 90s. On this episode, we'll continue the conversation in a different direction as Chris shares his experience becoming a sudden villain in the fringe conspiratorial zeitgeist. Then we'll move on to the value that we found in talking to strangers, him as a podcaster who has conversations on an anonymous hotline, and myself as a former hitchhiker. Now here it is, part two. Who's going to argue if you really believe that? If QAnon really believes people who are involved in that, that Tom Hanks is running a sex trafficking ring, and you believe that with all your heart, like, that sets you up to do a lot of really bad things.
Oh, because they think I'm a part of it.
Do they?
To the point where they actually have me running scared and I don't love talking about it. But I had a TV show, and for many years it was on public access TV. But we went to cable eventually. And we had Will Ferrell on as a guest, and our ratings were horrible. And we did a bit where we had Will Ferrell in these platform boots and antlers and a cape and an all-white outfit. And he's already so tall. And we said, let's do like this fake, like, occult ceremony to like pray to the TV gods and get our ratings up. And I wound up like stripped down and covered in blood. And the bit was, it ended with... like, we built, like, it didn't look like a vagina, but it was like a 10-foot tall, like, representation of a rebirth, where I was pushed through a hole to be rebirthed. And we were like, this is such a dumb, over-the-top, like, let's pray to the TV gods because our show is clearly about to get canceled. And someone found it, and they did such a smart thing. I think this, maybe it finally got pulled. I don't know. It might still be up there. Where they analyze this video, because Will Ferrell, there's some video of him at a ceremony with Marina Abramovich, I guess.
I've seen it.
And because he did this occult ceremony with me, they now say that my TV show, which was the worst rated show in the history of true TV, was this cog in this platform. We were a live show. We took calls. Someone called and said, what toppings do you like on your pizza? So you can imagine the word pizza comes up. He says pineapple. They're now analyzing that. But the tricky thing they did that you'll love, because I'm a small footnote now in like the modern hysteria, right, of what's unfolding today, is here's where you're being manipulated. Here's where I go, man, people who are buying into this, they don't know that they're being manipulated. If you watch the video this person made breaking it down, where there's all these pauses, Will Ferrell said this, this is a message about this, and you compare it to the actual footage from our show, they took it and slowed it down enough that I notice it because it's my voice and it's my TV show. But if you're just watching it, you don't notice that this is footage that's been altered. It just makes it imperceptibly weird. It's paced in a way that's a little weird. It feels a little more sinister. And it's because they actually slowed the footage down. Enough that you wouldn't notice it if it wasn't a side-by-side comparison, but enough where if you're just watching it cold, you're going, this is fucked up. This is not funny. This is not a comedy bit. And you go, yeah, well, comedy, a lot of comedy is about context. It's taken totally out of context. You're not watching the rest of an episode, let alone the rest of the series, where we were having fun with the fact that we're clearly about to get canceled. That's the context, let alone the pacing and the tone, which you have shifted with some sort of computer. You have edited this. And they broke it down, and they've come after me on Reddit a few times. I talked about this on Conan, And if you look at the comments to the Conan bit, I say this thing happened on my TV show and I'm laughing about it with Conan. I'm going, I guarantee that me coming on your show to say, hey guys, it was just a comedy bit. It wasn't part of it. I guarantee this will just convince all the comments on the Conan clip, people going, he's protesting too much, man, lying in plain sight. And if they hear this, they will once again go further proof. And they'll analyze everything else you and I have said thus far and go, nope, it was actually signaled by this and this. All I can say is it was a comedy bit. And if you think that me, a relatively, you know, someone who's had a working career as an artist for years, but who is not a mainstream name, who I don't know if it was on the air or off the air that you were like, oh, I liked you on Broad City. I'm like, yeah, I played the boss in Broad City. I had done two episodes of The Office. Like, those are the peaks of my career. Very, very, very small character acting roles. If I'm a cog in some conspiracy, then the conspiracy is pretty shitty. You know, like I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy. Like, I promise you, and no, if people are really convinced, they won't believe me, but I've been cited by some of the fringe members of that particular modern hysteria. If it wasn't this show and it didn't get there so organically, I don't even like talking about it because it does scare me a little bit. It does scare me a little bit because, and it is, and I'm a father and I have a lot to be responsible for now. And I sit here and I go, man, like, people debate how real this is or not. And then I'm sitting here and again, I don't think I'm on the tip of many people's tongues. It's really this one guy on Reddit who over and over again brings this thing up about me. And I go, man, like I can see he's thoroughly convinced. And actually he was coming at me enough. I was getting concerned. I read his post. I found out, I'm not going to dox him, but I found out his day job is he helps run a mental health facility, where I go, oh my goodness. Like, and now to be fair, I also saw it being posted about on Reddit and initially thought it was so funny that I was like interacting with people, which was a mistake. Because eventually a friend of mine, it was also before everything had come up and been analyzed so heavily. And it was a friend of mine who was like, dude, you know, this is like tied into the guy at the pizza place in DC. I was like, what? He's like, all that stuff, everything they're saying about you is part of that. I go, oh, well, let me take this down because those are people with guns. And then when I took it down, obviously it was just further proof. And I go, ooh, this stuff is spreading further and wider than I knew. And that was 2017, which I think was, we knew about it from Comet Ping Pong, but I don't think it had become what it was. So to be fair, I also poked the beast and I just used the word the beast. They're going to wonder what that meant. Right. Like, but I was poking the beehive on that one. Didn't understand that it was cutting deeper. And it actually does haunt me a little bit because it comes up every couple of years and I go, like you said, there are people who think they are saving. And I go, I hope none of these people really seriously think that I am one of these people because I don't want to get shot.
Yeah.
I don't want, like, it's gotten to that point with me where I go, this still seems fairly innocuous, but also I don't want one of these people who thinks they're a hero for doing it to think I'm part of a thing because I did a comedy bit on a comedy show on a largely comedy network. It's actually very, very terrifying to even be in the fringe of the conversation.
It is really, really, really scary. And it's fun to joke about, but when you get down to experience like yours, it is so deeply unfunny. And luckily, I do think this is obviously chilling out a little bit, but that doesn't mean that it's not humming under the surface, meaning QAnon and all these things. I mean, it's part of the zeitgeist now forever. And it has been, too. I mean, it's not new. It's just this confluence of all of these different factors that have, you know, even the drain, the swamp thing, you got this idea of like the elites, you know, which is like, why can't we all just be like, yeah, we don't like our political elites together?
Yeah. Like the universally agreed upon things of like, politicians are kind of shitty guys, right? And like you got to be careful with the media guys, right? Like it managed to get blown out to such extremes that even the people used to be like, I hate what you say, but we can agree on that, right? Like even now We're not allowed to be united, even in the general discontent with those institutions, because we have to protect our corners of those institutions. Even we don't really like our corners of those institutions. And that, I want to, when you and I are going, okay, let's think about what being from, you know, of the 80s and 90s, how that tied back to the 50s. And you go, okay, it was Reagan. I feel like 30 years from now, people are going to be able to go, what was happening at this point that led to this and that led to Trump? Because Trump wasn't Reagan, but they were both kind of entertainment figures that got filled a void. And now you start to see, well, who was it constructing? Okay, the Reagan stuff goes back to Nixon, and it goes back to these conservative conferences. And I'm fascinated to see who fanned the flames of the polarization. So outside of being like, so much of these local legends come down to like justification for gentrification, or legends about people justify how you can make those people's lives worse in the name of things like land and money. I also want to say that I highly value the ability to have one-on-one conversations with people that aren't dictated by just talking points or bullet points or editing or being turned into a video that goes viral on social media or some chain email that your crazy aunt sends around. Like, I know I'm rambling here, but I do like to think that we have an ability more than we act on lately within recent years to actually shoot the shit, like we were saying, with the other people. I might be able to go to a bar in some area of the country that does not accommodate Northeastern liberal artists, and I might be able to sit down and they might go, CNN sucks, and I might be able to look them in the eye and go, but you know Fox sucks too, right? And they'd be like, yeah, I know. It all sucks, you know, but those things have been taken away from us except when it's one-on-one, except when it's an effort to be made towards it. As an artist, I've been lucky enough to realize that when you go into territory that is quote-unquote enemy territory, the people there are generally not actually your enemies. And they feel like you're there the enemy. And if they came up and broke bread in your part of the country, you're not their enemy either. So who's making us feel that way?
Your podcast, which is, Beautiful Anonymous, Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People, it just reminds me so much of, as our audience knows, I used to hitchhike for years every summer, and it made me no longer be able to create simplistic categories, because I'd be in a car with someone who would like say something that I really didn't like, and then 10 minutes later they're like crying and telling me about their dead wife, and I'm just like, oh, you're like a whole person. You have every second I've been alive, you've had a second that you've been alive, and it's been completely different than my life. And who's to say that if I grew up in a particular environment that is considered bad or is bad, whatever you want to say, that I would be able to like climb my way out of certain thinking patterns or certain ways of speaking, or, you know, these different things that we expect out of everyone, even though there's like different accesses to education. There's different ways that people don't quite understand how to talk to each other. And then it just all falls apart. But when you're in that intimate setting, you have to sort of put your ego aside a little bit. And especially if you're in a car with someone, and like you, I mean, you talk on a podcast, someone calls into your podcast, and your premise is that you talk to this person until they hang up, and you cannot get out of the car. It's like, you're going to go as far as the person will take you. Then you get out, and then you have this little encapsulated time with them, and you can take from it what you will, and you can hopefully impart some of yourself to them, and you just exchange something meaningful. And that doesn't mean it has to be positive. You know, it's not like everybody's like got a heart and soul, and that's true, but it's also like, we're just exchanging moments in time together, and it has a lot of meaning, and things can come out of it. It doesn't mean that they're going to be perfect by any means, but I think that is so much a part of the American experience. We are a multicultural society in a way that no other place is, and so we have a lot of difficulties with each other. And we have a lot of moral panics and urban legends because so many things are rubbing up against each other, like you talked about.
The thing you just said that rings really true to me about conversations you've had hitchhiking that I think are also true about the conversations I have with my podcast is you had said, like, you have these conversations and you don't walk away going like, oh, and everybody's happy and things are great when you find these commonalities. There's actually sort of something that's a little more beautiful, but almost a little more tragic inside it, which is you go, oh, you kind of have to give people on a day-to-day basis more benefit of the doubt that their lives might be harder than you know at first glance. Like, you just, like, I thought my podcast, I thought it was going to be comedy focused. And instead, you offer people anonymity and you go, and I'm just mostly going to listen, not judge you. Like, and if it's bad, it's on me. Like, nobody knows your name, you know, like, people have started pouring their guts out to me. That happened very quickly. And I've just realized it's changed my life because I go, you know what? If you're in front of me at the cash machine and it's taking you forever to remember your PIN, I'm not going to sit here and get all pissed off anymore because, like, maybe you're getting rent some money out. Like, I don't know. Like, I've heard stories that are worse than that now from regular people, you know? And we don't scout the people. We don't produce the stories. I just tweet out a phone number. And then whoever calls me, calls me. So it's not like we're picking the sensationalistic ones. It's like, I'm trying to think of a real example. Like, I was once talking to someone who this one became like weirdly topical again last year, where I was talking to this guy and he's like, so I think I'm comfortable telling you this. So I was an escort in the Washington, D.C. area, and I can't say who because I signed an NDA, but there is a high-level Republican senator who has used my services and made me do weird stuff. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And then we just talked about that for like the remaining call. I go, someone who I could have just been buying coffee next to you at the Dunkin' Donuts. And then who would even know? You're just some person who called me on the phone because you saw a tweet. Like, people, a person reporting herself to federal prison for a 4-year stint because she got caught up in meth trafficking, you know, and then on the other end, like, some guy called and told me a bunch of stories about different times that he shit his pants, and then people who have lost children, people who work in all different fields where I had no idea they were as intense as I knew. So that's the thing about hitchhiking that it sounds like my podcast has managed to stumble into, is this thing where you go, face value is just worthless. It's the value of face value is zero. You can actually make zero assumptions about a person until you start talking to them. To actually function in a civilization, I go, I had to take a deep breath and ignore all that because I've now had over, you know, close to 300 conversations at this point with strangers that have just taught me nothing is as simple as those defense mechanisms point us to, right? Like, all of that human instinct to just make assumptions is also rooted in the idea of, like, we're hunter-gatherers and you don't want someone stealing what you've hunted and gathered this day. Get out of here. Like, that's... it all goes back thousands of years to that, right? Or some smarter version of that. But that's not where we live anymore. Like, we all have enough food for now, water for now. We might mess that up too. But for now, I got these instincts I have to go, what assumption should I be making about this person? I go, the assumption I should be making is that they may have had some really hard, miraculous things in their lives and I should chill out and listen to it. That's what my podcast has taught.
You ever notice how finding time and energy to do the most basic human necessity, eat literal food, has become just another exhausting task jammed into our increasingly inhuman schedules? Well, your spring can be a little more stress-free with Factor. Factor will provide you with delicious, never-frozen, ready-to-eat gourmet meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Each week, you get to choose from a menu of 35 options to create your perfect breakfast, lunch, or dinner with absolutely no prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. And Factor makes sure you get exactly what you want. You can tailor deliveries to your schedule and customize how many meals you want each and every week, and you can pause anytime. So just head to factormeals.com/AmericanHysteria50 and use code AmericanHysteria50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code AmericanHysteria50 at factormeals.com/AmericanHysteria50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Check out Factor today.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The one thing that I feel like maybe is missing a little bit sometimes is like nobody's doing the field research in that they've decided what the ideals are, like you said, but if you just come up and go, here's how it should be, agree with me, it eliminates the step that goes in both directions, which is the hard conversation of what is the hole in your life that you're filling with these things that seem counterproductive or unethical or evil in some cases. Like if you hate immigrants, what is the whole, like what is that hatred giving you back? And is there a way to get you that isn't involved in being convinced by people to demonize someone else? Because that's, we know that doesn't solve anything, because people have gone to that well so many times throughout American history. It's a very easy political move to go hate the people. So many groups dealt with it, you know, still deal with it. I feel like you tell somebody like coal mines are bad for your health anyway, go work at Walmart, it's a better job. And you go, well, three generations of my family have like actual members of my family were shot at by union goons to have this job. It's not, you don't just walk away from that. You, like, people died, so you sit here, you go, okay, there's a section of people that I get the sense don't like me, and I'm supposed to not like them, but I don't dislike them. On the other end too, there's probably people with points out there who, if they sat down with me and went, why do you prescribe to X, Y, and Z? And I honestly told them, they might go, huh, okay. Well, I want to protect small businesses, and all this tax stuff might actually tie into what you're talking about too. And right now in my mind, I'm going, I don't care. Trickle down economics has killed people. But maybe if they did their field research in a more genuine way, and if we did ours too in a little bit more of a genuine way, and it wasn't just, I know what I want to be reality, let me say it on Twitter and get people who agree with me happy and people who don't mad at me. There's ways that a lot of people could let their guards down on all sides, and you realize, oh, if we can just let our guards down on all sides and admit that each other's pains are real and not in competition with each other, that's when it gets really eye-opening. And then you sit there and you go, oh, and it does seem like a lot of this, it turns out, might actually be because Russian and Chinese intelligence agencies are actively legitimately causing it on purpose on Facebook. And you're going, that's how they're, you want to loop it back to being children of the 80s and 90s, we're going, oh, that's how the Russians win? Like, I remember, you'll love this. Like, growing up in North Jersey, in my town, I think was 12 miles from Manhattan, I remember a teacher telling us, third grade, oh, you know, if New York gets bombed by the Russians, if Manhattan gets bombed, we're screwed because we just get third degree burns. Like, we don't die. Like the other towns in Jersey are a little closer. They'll die and it'll be more merciful. We'll be the first wave of people who are just grotesque monsters. It went from that to like, oh, now the Russians can just like pretend to be a woman from Connecticut. And that's how they're going to get us?
That's how they're going to bring down democracy. Yeah,
bring back the nukes. Bring back the nukes. They were a lot easier to track. We knew when nukes were coming. We could see it on our satellites. I can't suss out if every angry white woman from Connecticut is actually a Russian teenager paid to do this. I can't. It's too much work for me.
Will you just tell us a little about your special and your podcast? Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, people who like this podcast, I think you'll like our podcast. It's very humanity-based, beautiful, anonymous. And then, the new special, it's called Half My Life. It's like a half-road documentary, half-stand-up special. There's a lot of funny jokes. There's a lot of kind of onstage chaos that I'm a fan of. And then also a lot of just here's what it looks and feels like to kind of get out there and go to places that you're not used to and to contemplate where you're at and think about you still want to be who you are and all those things. So it has some laughs, it has some feels. It's a little weird, like most of the things I do, but you might enjoy it. I also get the sense too, your listeners might appreciate, I self-funded this whole thing. The director is a friend of mine who directs music videos for punk bands, and I took a big swing on that, and it was scary to put up the money, but I'm in a position where I could. I'm lucky, and then it allowed me to just do it my way and exist outside of any notes from executives and corporate needs. And it's all these venues that are a lot of them legitimate DIY spaces that are off the grid, and might remind you of what it was like to go to shows and be out for live entertainment in small intimate places. So check it out, everybody. Yeah.
It really made me excited, as I said, to just do anything again and and be part of. And I mean, it is what we're talking about. It's like when you're in a show like that, you are part of a haphazard community. So thank you for putting something like this out and getting us ready to see each other face to face again.
Well, thank you for having me and for a legitimately fascinating conversation. Thank you.
I'm so glad your people got in touch with our people.
Oh, we're cut from the same cloth.
This was American Hysteria. Make sure you check out Chris's special, Half My Life, and his podcast, Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People. If you like American Hysteria, consider becoming a patron. We have some exciting things coming up at patreon.com/AmericanHysteria. You can follow us on Twitter at AmerHysteria and on Instagram at American Hysteria Podcast. We also still have merch available at AmericanHysteria.com. This episode was produced by Miranda Zickler with sound by Clear Camo Studios. Thanks, as always, for listening. We'll be back in a few weeks with an episode on a strange phenomenon that I'm calling the dark underbelly of YouTube Kids. I've been disappearing into the future dystopia of artificial intelligence, and it's scaring the shit out of me. And you know what? It's all for you. So please, in the meantime, have a great week.